When I imagine a scientist at work, I conjure a picture of meticulous calm, orderly insight and absolute certainty. But science is just as diverse, complex and labyrinthine as any other approach of thought, and uses varying degrees of creativity. What starts out as chaotic, methodical or inspirational can end with just an answer or a path to other possibilities. Alicia, Nat and Jen travel the neural pathways of four scientists while they work and map what appears to be a trajectory from chaos to calm.
Science is imperative to understanding who we are, where we're from, where we're going. What does a scientist think about?
I remind myself to not have preconceived assumptions. Yeah, I think it's very easy to collect a small amount of data and fit your understanding into a box and then try and make everything fit to that model in your head. And that's just such a self, you know, defeating way of going about it. Every new thing you see could give you a totally new insight into something you haven't thought about before. So it's interesting, is it a clean notebook or a used notebook? It's both, because it's got to be clean in the sense that you don't bring your preconceived decisions and assumptions, but you've got to bring all of your past knowledge and understanding with you to be constantly reimagining how the world works.
Sometimes it's important to put your notebook away.
Chaos was the law of nature. Order was the dream of man. Henry Adams.
My main job is doing new research projects, but I'm also doing some teaching. I go to conferences, I present my work, involved in projects, to do new experiments, pose new observations, things like that. So my day is very scattered in a lot of different ways, but when I am doing research, I go through equations and figure out how to calculate something interesting about dark matter. So it's really a lot of talking to people, a lot of sharing ideas, and then a lot of writing code and doing calculations. Everybody wants to find the theory of everything,
right?
But you have to study a small part of the theory of everything. You have to be able to test some question. Ask some question, that question has to have an answer, and you have to show that you can find that answer. So it's really a matter of thinking about trying to balance those things. The high impact of if we find the solution versus is this actually something we can realistically test? And that's always the big question. What I do is I talk to the theorists and I try and figure out what the interesting questions are in theory and what the new models say. And then I talk to the experimentalists and the observers and I figure out what can be tested at the moment with the technology we have, what the new technology coming up will be. And I try and find interesting ways to connect the theory to the experiment and observation. So it's a very creative space to be in.
Science thrives in the world of the precise.
Okay, so let's do this.
got SFR. So this is my gravity sector, except that now I have the Ricci scalar multiplied by some function of my scalar, which, you know, could be the Higgs, whatever. And then I'm integrating that over all of space. And I also have to multiply by some normalization factor, square root of negative g, which is just accounting for... What is that accounting for? Okay, so just the way that the coordinates vary from point to point, so they could change in length. Okay, good. I need more coffee.
In physics, a theory is a story told using maths. A story about how the world might be, or about how something might work. And so that's how I think about, you know, the models that I'm working with. They're stories told using equations about how the universe might behave. Maybe the story claims that something will happen. You know, if I do X, then Y will occur. And so the aim of the experiment is to say, okay, well, let's do X and see if Y occurs. So it's putting those stories to the test and seeing if they kind of hold water. A really nice thing about physics is that, you know, you can check whether things make sense. You know, what do my equations predict? Okay, and I have physical expectations about what will happen, and I can check those against the equations. So a lot of time is spent just doing those checks. You know, sometimes when you're doing maths, sort of in the dark, like, you don't really know what's happening. It can be hard to check. But in physics, there's a really nice battery of checks that you can use to see if the maths makes sense.
It takes a lot of effort for an obsessive mind to accept the fact that everything is in order except itself. Mo Sadali.
Coloured in the lines. Did you colour in the lines?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm a scientist, mate. I'm a scientist. I absolutely coloured in the lines perfectly.
Not only did I not care about colouring in the lines, I almost felt a fear of colouring in the lines because I didn't want to fit in. That was something that drove me.
Isn't that fascinating, though, that you were scared about fitting in and colouring in the lines, whereas I was scared of going over the lines, because I knew that to do, you know, to do things right, in my view, I had to learn the rules. How can I be sure I'm asking all the right questions to cover all the different things that might be affecting this, you know, this environment that I'm looking at, this habitat, these animals? So for me, it's about being out in this natural world and just looking with amazement and thinking, wow, this is all going on every second, every minute of every day, whether I'm there to watch it or not. This is all going on, and I'll never fully understand it, and that blows my mind.
Metaphor is the way we map the world. Facts soar with metaphor. Even mathematics delves into secrets.
I heard a beep. Up close to the beep. That's almost as noisy as my project gets. The timer's telling me when I need to be, where I need to be.
That's what I always understood. Chemistry was just cooking.
Yes, we often good chemist, good cook. We can follow a recipe. It's a little bit more difficult when you're actually trying to come up with the recipe and working out what works, but that's basically what we do. We come up with the recipe.
What makes you love chemistry?
Who said I love chemistry? I love this type of chemistry because I can definitely see how what I'm doing could help affect change in various different places and make life easier for a lot of people. And I like the precise nature of analytical chemistry. Being able to measure things very exactly is really exciting, and being able to do it better than anybody else is really exciting as well. Well, I suppose it's not being better than anybody else, it's being better than the limits. So being able to detect these super low limits is really exciting. and being able to detect them and know that that's then going to be useful for someone is really good.
When you drink water or when you see a swimming pool, are you just totally thinking about the chemistry of the water?
I have been known to bring sample bottles with me, and I've been on camping trips with my partner down to the Murray River and have taken water samples to later test with my devices. That has happened.
Nature, when left to universal laws, tends to produce regularity out of chaos. Immanuel Kant.
She has a clean desk. How representative is this of your brain?
Pretty representative. Brain is in piles. And I can usually remember the piles a bit better. Some of these I have forgotten the piles. The brain, I can generally remember the piles. This is at the point where I think I just want to set fire to it.
Is this all research?
Yeah, this is current research. This is piles of papers to read. But every time I go to throw them out, I go, oh, I really should read that again. This is a disaster. It really is terrible. And I think I'm very clean in the lab to make up for the fact that it's so bad out here.
Helen is actually meticulously obsessive in the lab regarding cleanliness. And that's what her field is. I mean, it has to be pristine, and she really is pristine in the lab, so this is, it's always quite hilarious. It's a source of much humour, Helen's desk. Do you see the world in bacteria? Like, are you always thinking on a tiny micro scale because you spend your days trying to break things that are already bloody small, like bacteria, into even smaller bits? Do you kind of have this sense of bacteria everywhere?
I don't worry about it so much, but it's lots of little things. Things like I don't touch door handles, I'll try not to do stuff like that, because that's where disease really comes from. It's other people who are sick. Certainly when we go out and looking at people and, oh, they've got their gloves on, but they're touching the money and the food, that's no good! Just stuff like that you become quite paranoid about, but then you sort of just try not to think about it. I think I've got bigger things to worry about.
Like your desk.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, like the rest of my life is just a mess, yeah.
When we try to imagine a chaos, we fail. In its very fibre, the mind is an order and refuses to build a chaos. George Isles.
I'm sitting up on a beautiful big granite boulder covered in moss that's right in the middle of the forest that I worked in for many years, following around possums and trying to understand their lives, trying to understand their families and who was hanging out with who and who was making babies with who. Makes me think about the way science just gives me this whole different filter. The way I look at these trees and, you know, the big old trees don't look that different, and I still remember every one of them by number, because I had to give them a number so I could record which trees the possums were sleeping in each day, and all the amazing things I used to watch going on, and the way the possums used to call at me, and I used to be able to watch them do interesting things. So yeah, this kind of filter that I have on in this forest, it fascinates me that anyone else could walk through this forest and see their version of it. And they might just think, wow, this is a nice patch of forest. But for me, it's just all about knowing intimately how this forest is is connected with these possums. And it amazes me that all these years later, I still see the world through the eyes of these animals. And I like it. I like the fact that being a scientist and having researched one particular population of animals for many years gave me such an insight into their world.
Having been in the science world for a while, I actually see the good scientists as the ones who can think outside the square and who can be really creative in their questions and their approaches. And I mean, I think doing good quality science without question is important, but I think the people who really further our understanding are the people who have that creative side.
Science, discovery and theory build upon art and distill universal insight.
So isn't it interesting that on the one hand you learn to colour in the lines as a beginning, but then you have to learn to pretty much get rid of the lines.
Chaos to Calm was produced by poet and broadcaster Alicia Sumtimes and sound artist Nat Bates, with the inquisitive mind of Dr. Jen Martin, lecturer in science communication at the University of Melbourne. Alicia and Nat both have that uncanny ability to span the science and the arts in their work. Head along to abc.net.au/rn/soundproof to delve further into their minds. I'm Miyuki Okiranta.